the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 66 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Alec and Elizabeth and the End of the World by Michael Gray. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from a remote location in Houston, Texas. And I once again apologize for the poor quality of the audio. I'm once again recording on my iPad with its built-in mic. I was very smart, and I bought myself a nice portable microphone recorder so that when I was on the road, I could still get quality audio. But I decided to leave it at home. I forgot to bring it with me. So here I am once again, talking into my iPad. But I didn't want to let another week go by without bringing something to you. And so we have today's story. And today's story was written by Michael Gray. Michael was born and grew up in West Yorkshire, England, and now lives in Melbourne, Australia, with his wife and two boys. His work, featuring explosions, giant tanks, and strange creatures, can be found in print and online, and has been featured in the Penny Dread Tales anthology from Runewright Press, and soon in the Andromeda Spaceways in-flight magazine. He has also had other work not featuring explosions, giant tanks, or strange creatures, in the Life and Times of Chester Lewis anthology from the Australian Literature Review. He does not have the writer obligatory cat, but there is a red switch in his cupboard, which he is almost certain turns the lights on his street off and on. The weight of this responsibility makes him old before his time. He can be reached at www.michaelgray.com.au. That's michaelgrey.com.au. And I will put links in the show notes. This story has been produced for you by Christopher Monroe. Now, if he keeps this up, this could very well become the Christopher Monroe Journey Into podcast. But I'm grateful for his help and grateful for the great work that he does. So let's get to it. Please come with me and let's journey into the end of the world.
Alec and Elizabeth and the End of the World by Michael Gray. When Alec reached the end of the world, he was surprised to find it exactly as he imagined. He stood on the edge and took a deep lungful of air, his first in a long time, and laughed. He was alone on the brink where soil, grass, and rock ended abruptly, leaving clumps of earth and roots to dangle over the void. Alec leaned forward and looked down. The ground sheared down perhaps 30 meters before becoming hazy, then disappeared from view. Not into mist, just as if it went further than his eyes were able to see. Unperturbed, he sat down, dangling his feet over the side and rocking them back and forth in a playful way he had not done since he was a boy. It was nice here, he thought. No one rushing around. Calm, pleasantly warm, and utterly silent, with not even a bird call to intrude on the peace. The sky arced overhead, peach white to pink, fading into wispy clouds at what he automatically thought of as the horizon. It had the impression of a late summer afternoon, but he knew however long he waited here, that would not change.
Hi.
He turned, A girl, no, a woman, stood a few meters behind him, looking unsure and alone. He smiled.
Hi yourself.
Can I?
She gestured to the ground beside him.
Be my guest.
He shuffled over, unnecessarily making space. Now he had company, Alec became aware he had been grinning, probably like an idiot. But he didn't care. He looked back out toward the faux sunset and took another deep breath before turning back and...
I'm Alec.
He held out a hand.
Elizabeth,
she said, shaking his and smiling awkwardly. She joined him looking out.
Where is this place?
It's the end of the world,
he said, surprised at how sure he was. She looked alarmed and twisted so she could see up and down the edge. He laughed.
Oh, no, not the end of the world, just the end. For the people who come here.
She looked confused, and then comprehension dawned across her face.
So, I'm...
he nodded.
I'm afraid so.
Oh.
She looked more confused than upset. But then, he could not imagine anyone being sad in such a beautiful place.
I expect a lot of people think the same way when they're here,
he said.
Yes, I expect they would. You don't seem surprised to be here. I mean...
He smiled.
No, I've been expecting to arrive for a while now.
She looked confused again, so he leaned in a little and said,
Cancer.
She put a hand to her mouth.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
He waved her words away.
Don't be. All done now. And besides, it was worth the wait.
He looked around again, drinking in every detail.
What about you?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think I was in my car.
I hope you had insurance.
Her eyes went wide.
Oh, my! I didn't! Oh, it expired last week!
And then she saw him smiling and landed a playful punch on his arm. They laughed for a while, until she said,
What about him?
He turned. A man stood further up the edge. He wore pants made from some kind of spotted animal fur, showing off skin as black as coal and holding an ornate spear in one hand. He was looking without expression over the edge. He became aware of them and raised a hand. They returned the wave.
Wonder where he's from,
said Alec.
He's a Maasai tribesman. They live in Kenya.
Alec looked back at Elizabeth.
Do they? And how would you know that?
I study anthropology. Well, studied, anyway.
No kidding. It's what I wanted to do at university.
Really? Well, why didn't you?
She looked over his shoulder.
Where did he go?
The spot where the man had stood was empty, as if no one was ever there.
I think he went,
said Alec.
Where?
He shrugged.
Wherever it is we go, I suppose.
She looked out toward the clouds.
And where do you suppose that is?
He pointed out.
That way, I think.
A breeze ruffled his hair, bringing a scent of cherry blossoms from somewhere. He always loved cherries. And he had always loved talking, a joy denied to him for the past few months. He turned to Elizabeth and saw his look returned.
You're not in a rush to find out. Are you?
No,
she said, and smiled. He held out his hand again, and this time she took and held it, and together they watched the end of the world.
Thank you.
You know, I think this is one of those perfect stories, at least in my mind. I think Michael really has something here. You know, it's not a long story. It's about the perfect length for the kind of story that it is. And you really can't go much further with this story if you go on and maybe they explore this edge of the world, this edge of oblivion, or they choose to enter eternity together and jump off the edge of the world, or whatever they might do. I think you might lose the moment, and there doesn't need to be any more. He's just captured this moment with these two people at the end of their lives, and they find a little hope in each other, and it doesn't matter what happens after that. And it's one of those stories that you're not quite sure how you feel about it. I mean, in one way, it's a whimsical story, kind of a light story. But if you think about the implications of where they're at in the grand scheme of things, it could also be quite deep and poignant and reflective upon death and our destiny after death and all these things. And so I think it was really kind of magically captured here in the story. When I first read it in the submissions, there was no doubt in my mind that I wanted this story. And I sent an email off to Michael right away. So I'm glad that we were able to take this journey together. And I'm thankful again to Christopher Monroe for producing this story for me. It's his second story that he's produced for Journey Into. And I'm sure he'd be willing to do more, so I'll have to find some other stories for him. And if you haven't listened to the previous episodes where I've kind of given the bio of Chris, or Munzee, as he is called online, I'll kind of give you the short blurb. Christopher Monroe is an author, actor, and comedian from Calgary, Alberta, whose fiction has appeared on the Doonsteef Audio Fiction Magazine, The Way of the Buffalo podcast, and this Journey Into podcast. His debut novel, Broken Escalator, is available now in ebook and as a podcast at patiobooks.com. And when you hear that, you probably think to yourself, broken escalator? How can you write an entire novel about a broken escalator? If the escalator is broken, how can that be a crisis? Well, in order to answer that question, you really do need to check out Chris's novel. And it's not just a joke. This is serious stuff. Just last week, a man in Seattle was killed by an escalator. You may have heard about it on the news. I read to you now from ABC News, and this was April 12th, 2013. It says, a tragic accident left a 42-year-old man dead in a bus terminal in downtown Seattle on Sunday morning. And this man appears to have lost his balance toward the bottom. And at the point where people are stepping off the escalator, he was lying flat. His clothes became entangled in the escalator, by which he was choked and later died. So this is serious stuff. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that there were 68 deaths from 1992 to 2003 among people using escalators. And so you may scoff and you may think that Chris's novel is a farce. But be warned. And if you want to be prepared against the escalators, you need to read Chris's book, Broken Escalator. There'll be links to it on the show notes. Check it out. And so, since we're talking about Munzee, I'd like to run another one of his stories for you here. This is a short drabble that I recorded for the Dribblecast, but I thought it was a great idea and a lot of fun. And it was focused around a particular music group and a particular song that they did. And so I had to read it in a particular style, and with some music. So enjoy this little ditty. Same As It Ever Was by Christopher Monroe. Performed for you by Marshall Latham. Accompanied by the Talking Heads.
I found myself behind the wheel of a large automobile, and I asked myself, how did I get here? Drinks, a few, and then driving home to a beautiful house and a beautiful wife, but my eyes couldn't focus. Lost, I asked myself, where does that highway lead to? Fumbling the wheel, I asked myself, how do I work this? Something leapt. The car lurched, then stopped. I never saw it. I felt ill. I asked myself, am I right? Am I wrong? Leaning out the window, seeing the bike, I said to myself, my God, what have I done?
That's about all I have for you this week, and I'm glad to have you here, and I hope you come back next week. I'm trying to get more organized. I'm trying to prepare these podcasts a little better, and so I kind of have the next little while planned out. And so next week, come back to join us for more Space Patrol, and this time around, I'm going to pair it up with some vintage Buck Rogers radio. The first week in May, I'm going to finally bring you Cyberpunk Issue 2 by D.K. Thompson. So stay tuned and come back next week. In the meantime, feel free to email me at journeyintopodcast@gmail.com, and I'd love to see you on the forums discussing these stories, discussing any relevant topic. And that's at journeyinto.freeforums.org. And you can also follow the podcast on Twitter at Journey Into, and you can find us on Facebook. So until next week, be safe out there and journey on.
This is Christopher Monroe, author of Broken Escalator, and you've wisely chosen to listen to the Journey Into audio fiction podcast. Journey Into is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, which means that while you cannot change or sell it, you are encouraged to share it however and with whomever you like. Theme music for the podcast was provided by Man in Space. We hope you enjoyed the episode and wish you a safe and pleasant journey.
A little ditty about Alec and Elizabeth. Two American kids joining up at the end of the world.